This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in John's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, again we lift our hearts and our whole being unto thee, praying that thou wilt take thy word home to our hearts, as thou hast given it to us for this hour. We desire that Christ will be glorified, and thy Spirit will work effectually in our hearts, and that our souls, our whole being, will be turned unto thee. Bless the reading of thy word. Give us of thy grace that is needful by thy Spirit, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and filled the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth.
I sing the mighty.
He formed the creatures with his word, and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the prize thy tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below
from thee is ever in thy care. And everywhere that man can be, thou, God, art present there. Amen. Amen.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Continue to pray for us, and God's Word will go out in power and much assurance to each and every heart. Did you write for your free book that we're giving away this month entitled The Shadow of the Cross, Studies in Self-Denial? This little book by Pastor Chantry of Grace Baptist Church, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, will certainly search your heart as it searched mine. He goes in and shows that our blessed Lord and all of the apostles spoke of the cross as a principle of Christian experience, as well as the chief symbol of God's love. He says, belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ meant taking up the cross personally and living for Him rather than for ourselves. I want you to have a copy of this little book. Write for it. It's yours free and postpaid. It's entitled The Shadow of the Cross. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. I have for the past weeks been bringing messages on the subject of the sin of hypocrisy or profession without life. I would like to repeat again today our introduction to our first message, for I think it is needful as we continue this series. Will you listen? I believe the judgment of God is fast coming upon the vast multitudes in Christendom today because of the lukewarmness and hypocrisy that is so manifest in the lives of those who claim to be followers of Christ. There has never been a day in the history of the church when seemingly there has been more profession and less practice of godliness than is witnessed in our churches today. Every form of the media proclaims the fact that more people claim to be born again and more people claim to be followers of Christ today than at any other time in the history of the Christian church. There are more Bible study groups, prayer groups, retreats, seminars, singing, and preaching groups scattered across the country than at any other time. But I would like to raise some questions right here in view of all of this. Will you listen? Where is the vital godliness and holiness that characterized the church in the Acts of the Apostles? Where is the preciousness of Christ? Where is the convicting power of God the Holy Spirit? Where are the sinners crying unto God for mercy? Where are the life-giving evidences of the claims of God upon the lives of so-called born-again believers? Where is the Lordship of Jesus Christ claimed and practiced? Where is the sacrificial spirit of giving for the cause of missions at home and abroad? Where is the separation from the world and the walking in righteousness and true holiness? My friend, where is the thundering forth of the law of God so the people may know what sin is? Where do people meet to cry unto God for the souls of men in the old-fashioned prayer meeting? Where are the praise meetings where God is exalted and lifted up among His people in the Lord Jesus Christ? My friend, we claim to be saved by the grace of God, but where is the fruit of the Spirit that shows we have been with God? We say we have trusted Jesus as Savior. We have been baptized. We go to church. But where is the new life of holiness? Where is the vital godliness that makes us bond slaves to Jesus Christ? I say, where is the love for souls, for others? Where is the crucifixion to the world? My friend, I believe all of these are pertinent questions for this hour. And in our first two messages, we answered these questions by showing you that men love the easy believism today that makes the way to heaven so easy because it appeals to the flesh and does away with the humbling, mortifying experience of Holy Spirit conviction and going in at the straight gate and walking in the narrow way. It makes a man face the awful fact of his ruined condition before God. And they must face God without hope and without mercy unless God intervenes in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and shows him mercy and giving him that grace to turn to Christ as his only hope, looking to him by faith. And then in last week's message we set before you that God in giving salvation never gives justification without giving sanctification. For in justification he sets us free from the penalty of sin and hell. And in sanctification he sets us free from the law, the power, and dominion of sin in this life, as he sets us in his kingdom of grace and causes us to walk in a new life, in a new way, in righteousness and true holiness. We also warned you to beware of those who preach this false gospel that would get you in by any other route except as a lost sinner fallen at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'd like to use the text that we used last week, found in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Listen now. We see in this verse of Scripture again today that the bent of a man's life must be in the Spirit of God, or he is not a child of God. He is not saved. You see, if he sows to his flesh, he shall of his flesh reap corruption. And this is not one isolated Scripture. This is all the way through the Word of God. Listen to Romans 8:5. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and to be fleshly minded is death. That is the second death, spiritual death and hell, according to Romans 6:23. But on the other hand, if the bent of a man's life is after the Spirit, then he minds the things of the Spirit, Romans 8:6, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We go through the Word of God, and what does it declare to us? My friend, it declares to us plainly in so many places that when God saves a sinner in Christ and gives him a new heart and a new nature, listen to me now, he takes him entirely out of the realm and the rule and the reign and the kingdom of sin and brings him into the kingdom of grace and puts that saved, redeemed sinner under the reign of grace. To the law and to the testimony of God's Word, let me prove this. Listen to Colossians 1:13. There we read that God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We find the Apostle Paul telling these Colossian believers that they who had once belonged to the power and the kingdom of darkness and of the devil and of hell have been translated, transferred from this kingdom and put into the kingdom of Christ and are now under the reign of his grace. They're no longer under the power and dominion of sin, but under the power and dominion of grace. They're no longer under the power of the kingdom of darkness, but under the power of the kingdom of light, heaven, and of grace. And we showed you, and it's so beautifully brought out in Romans chapter 5. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, in writing to the church at Philippi, the Apostle Paul says this about Christians: our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20. Listen to me now. He does not say our citizenship is going to be there. He says our citizenship is in heaven now. We are living on earth, but our citizenship is in heaven now. You see, the Scripture bears out that we are a colony of heaven in this world, but our citizenship is in heaven. Not here, but in heaven. And this transference of citizenship has already taken place. Are you following me? Listen now. We find this same truth in Ephesians 2:19. We are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. In other words, there has been a complete change in our position. We have changed our kingdoms once and forever. We're no longer in the territory of sin. We're no longer under the governing power of sin. Sin no longer controls us and no longer controls our destiny. Follow us now. Before becoming a Christian, children of God by the new birth, we were united to Adam. We belong to Adam and his fallen race, and all the consequences of his sin and actions have come upon us. Let me say it again. We were in Adam, but we are no longer in Adam if we are saved. We are now in Christ. You see, my friend, there are only two possibilities for every person alive today. You are either in Adam or else you're in Christ. And this is the whole message of Romans 5:18-21. Listen to it now. I want you to listen to God's Word, not my Word. God's Word. As by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That is the reign of sin in Adam. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men under justification of life. That is the reign of grace in Christ. Again, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That is the reign of sin in Adam. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And that is the reign of grace in Christ. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. That is the reign of sin in Adam. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And my friend, that is the reign of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. What we are trying to get over to you in this message today, my beloved, is this: that the gospel of the grace of God sets the poor captive sinner free. He is freed from the love, the power, and the reign of sin, as well as the penalty of sin, because now he is in Christ and in His kingdom. You see, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, according to Romans 1:16. And my friend, the word power comes from the Greek word dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. And this dynamite of the gospel sets us free from sin to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. In other words, it blasts us from the rock of our depravity, and we died, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, Romans 6:6. The body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You see, when we stand before God as poor, helpless, lost sinners, hearing the doom read from the courts of heaven, that the soul that sinneth it shall die, and when we, by the grace of God and the Spirit of God working in us, bow to this judgment, knowing that we are hell-deserving sinners, and then when the gospel is preached and we hear the good news of deliverance through the blood of Christ, there is put within us this desire and this cry by the grace of God after this free gift of God in Christ. We weep and we cry after it for God to make it real in our souls. And when by faith we see in Christ, in His gospel, a full salvation of deliverance from sin and all of its power, and we are made to trust Him and praise Him for such a deliverance, it brings us out from the realm of sin into the realm of grace. And my friend, I ask a question right here. What good is the gospel, the good news of deliverance in Christ, if it does not set us free from that which holds us and binds us and reigns over us and which is damning our souls to hell? Praise God, I preach the gospel of the grace of God in Christ, the gospel which the Bible speaks of, which sets men free from the tyranny of sin, which breaks its power. But this is not all the gospel does. Deliverance is only negative, and I must be positive, because The Bible is positive. Listen to me now. We're not only dead to the reign of sin, but this same gospel. By this same gospel, we are put under the reign of grace. And all that that means in terms of power. You see, my dear friend, the Word of God does not merely tell us our sins are forgiven. But it also tells us that we've been transferred to the reign of grace. And that the reign of grace is a very powerful reign. Listen to me now. It is guaranteed to produce certain results. I ask a question. Did not the reign of sin produce results? Did it not cause death to pass upon us? Did it not cause us to sin? Did it not cause us to hate and to swear and to blaspheme and to murder and to cheat and lie and steal and covet? Did it not cause us to commit adultery and bear false witness against our neighbor? Did it not cause us to do that which would bring us down under the wrath of God? Did it not cause us to drown our conviction and turn straight to hell? We did not want any of it. Sure it did, because we were under its power. It reigned over us. Watch it now. Listen to me. So in the same way does grace reign over every child of God. And infinitely more powerful. For the Scripture reads, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Yes, if the power and dominion of sin guarantees certain results, for the wages of sin is death, then the reign and rule of grace guarantees certain results, which are more certain by the Spirit of God working effectually in our souls because of the grace of God. I know you want to ask me, Pastor, what is guaranteed by the reign of grace given in the gospel to poor sinners? Now, I want to give you one declarative statement. And then, the Lord willing, next time we meet together, I want to give you the full extent of it. Listen to me now. What is guaranteed is this, that my full and final salvation is absolutely certain. I am not merely dead to the reign of sin. I am alive under the reign of grace. And grace is a tremendous power. It guarantees all the dynamic of the reign of grace upon me and is working in me and will bring me to perfection at last. This then being the purpose of the gospel, to break the reigning power of sin and its love, enthroned in the reigning power of grace, I ask a question, shall we then walk as so-called carnal Christians? And walk in the flesh and let the flesh remain in the saddle? No, no, my dear friend. For the whole object of the grace of God given to us in the gospel is to destroy sin and all of its works. And all that belongs to it, for 1 John 3:8 reads, listen to God's word now. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. What purpose? That he might destroy the works of the devil in the life of every soul whom he died for and whom he saves by his marvelous grace. Oh, this is blessed, isn't it? Oh, my friend, how could I preach anything else but this glorious gospel of the grace of God that breaks the power of sin? And my friend, if God does this, we no longer live in hypocrisy. We no longer live a life of profession. We live a life of reality. We live a life that is alive. And why do we do this? Well, let's look together in Romans 6:2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The answer is, we cannot. Why? Because of that word, live. It means continue and abide. We see from this that in view of our position, the fact that we are under the rule and reign of grace, it is impossible that we should continue and abide in sin, or that a life of sin should be our life. And my friend, if grace does not so reign in your life, then you're lost. You know nothing of the power of the gospel. For of course, when God comes by his almighty power, he sets us free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what is brought out in 1 John 3:9. Listen to the word of God. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. My friend, this is another profound statement of God's Word, and it means that whosoever is born of God does not go on living a life of sin. He does not practice it habitually. He cannot go on under the reign of sin because his seed remaineth in him. That is, the new life of grace in Christ is in him. And my friend, he is not saying here that a man who is born of God can never commit any individual act of sin again. For had he spoken in that way, there would be nobody in heaven or any Christian living on earth today. Oh no, what he is saying is this, that the man born of God cannot go on abiding in the realm of sin. Notice that word cannot. It is impossible. So putting together all of our Lord's teachings and the teachings of Brother Paul and John and Peter and James and Brother Jude, you have him saying that for a Christian to live in sin is impossible because such a man is under the power of grace. Not only is he out of the power of sin and the realm of sin, he is under the influence and the power of Christ. He is in the realm of this mighty force which is called grace and its reign. And therefore, because the saved soul is under this influence and power, he cannot continue where he was before. Grace makes it impossible. Therefore, to live any other life and to call it Christian is to live a lie, to live in the sin of hypocrisy, to have profession without life. And my friend, to sum it all up today, I'll read to you Romans 6:14. These triumphant words, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Why? Because grace is infinitely more powerful. We're never again under its dominion. Watch it now. This verse is not merely telling us that we ought not to continue in sin. It is saying you cannot and you shall not go on living in the realm and under the final power of sin. Why? Because you've been brought into the glorious reign of the gospel of the grace of God as revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God abides in the soul. Christ is real, and you desire to walk in righteousness and true holiness because God has done something for you. And my friend, any other gospel is not the gospel of the grace of God in Christ, but a perverted gospel. Do you desire a copy of these messages? Well, then you write us. Be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy to have been with you. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.